This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. Somebody's mad at Donald Trump. We'll talk about that. Somebody's going to talk about manners. We're going to make fun of Kamala Harris. There's just so much great stuff to get to in the final hour. So let us begin and begin with one final little funny on the whole system membership card thing. Sorry, it just popped up. I was kind of combing through, forgive me, the New York Times during the break. You know how we were making fun of Stacey Abrams for her children's book that I'm sure it will sell a bunch because she's a member of the system. Kamala Harris is a moron. You know that. We've talked endlessly about Dome when she was vice president, when she was a Democrat nominee. She is, I think she's 60, whatever, however old she is. She's 60 going on 12. She doesn't know anything about anything. She ran for office as a black woman in California, meaning she would never be vetted by the media. And so because she's not really a curious person or a well-read person, she doesn't actually know. It's very odd, actually. She's very insecure and doesn't actually know anything about anything. She's famous for giving these long word salad answers that don't say anything just because she doesn't know anything about anything. Remember, that's why she didn't want to do Joe Rogan. She wanted to do Joe Rogan, but didn't want to do Joe Rogan because Joe Rogan, he does a long show. It's 3 hours of him talking to you. Remember, Donald Trump went and sat down with Joe Rogan and just for 3 hours, just talked about whatever came up. Well, Kamala Harris can't do that. That's why her team tried to shrink the length of the interview. Oh, yeah, that's right. They only wanted 40 minutes worth. She can't talk about anything. Well, I'm not even joking. This is from the New York Times today. She and her husband are weighing each new opportunity with potential political blowback in mind. One possibility? Establishing an institute for policy and ideas, according to Brian Nelson, an advisor to Ms. Harris since she was California's attorney general. He has broached the idea with several universities, including Howard and Stanford. That is what it means to have a system membership card. You can be actually, not just somebody who doesn't know anything, you can be famous for not knowing anything. Famous. She is known for this. Someone who doesn't know anything and can't speak eloquently about anything, and yet they're thinking about starting an institute for ideas. And you know how it works. It'll be a nonprofit, of course. And as a nonprofit, it can take in unlimited donations, and they'll get billionaire communist benefactors to write gigantic checks, and Kamala Harris will live off those checks because, of course, she will be the director of the institute or something like that. And so every time, let's say, her and Dougie want to wake up and they want to go to, where's someplace nice and exotic? Bali. I don't even know where that is, but I've seen it in the movies. Bali. They want to go to Bali. Well, you don't use your money to go to Bali. What you do is you have an institute meeting, maybe a fundraiser in Bali, where you arrange to meet one of the gigantic donors in Bali. And of course, the institute will pay for your first class tickets or maybe even a private jet over the air. And the institute will, of course, pick up the check for your 5-star hotel over there. It's all on the institute's tab. That's how the system membership works. Perfect meet Jesse. Okay, first of all, that's true. Look, you can have perfect meat too, like I do. It's not as if I own the perfect meat market. I own an IQ Sense. I own a wireless cooking thermometer from Chef IQ. It's an incredible piece of technology, and actually they've improved it. It's on the Generation 3 now. This probe, I have the double pack. They have singles, doubles, or triples. I stick with the double, just me personally. It can handle up to 1,000 degrees. You leave it in your meat, in your chicken, in your fish, in your beef, in your, whatever you're cooking. You'd leave it in when you put it in the oven or on the grill, and you never ruin another piece of meat. It's perfect every time because your phone tells you when it's done. It's the most dumbed down thing in the world. Chris used it last night on a piece of salmon because Chris is gross, but it's even still, it was cooked perfectly. Chris, was it cooked perfectly last night? Yes, it was. You want perfect meat like me? My meat is perfect. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse, saves you 15% on these things. Make sure you save money. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. Jesse, I have a question. Will Deficit Donald, threaten to primary any Freedom Caucus Republicans that won't vote for his big, beautiful spending appropriations bill? The one that Flimsy Gramnesty put together? He says I can say his name. His name is Dave. Look, that's a very fair criticism. He's done it. And he's still doing it. That's why Donald Trump, that's why he had an axe to grind with the Freedom Caucus the first time he was president. They primaried out the head of the Freedom Caucus, Bob Good. Donald Trump endorsed his primary opponent. They challenged him, primaried him out. He's already threatened to primary Chip Roy, Thomas Massey. Lindsey Graham gets an endorsement because Donald Trump is absolutely horrible at picking Republicans. He's awful at it. I don't have another way to put it. And what he wants, look, I played it last night for you, but Donald Trump sat there and he was talking about a $1 trillion military budget. And he was sitting there and he's saying, it's never been done before. You're going to love hearing this. A $1 trillion military budget. Donald Trump is very, very good at a lot of things. But like anyone else who sits in the office of the presidency, he wants to do things. You have to go back to Calvin Coolidge to find a president who just didn't want to do anything. He just wanted to be hands off. I want the government out of your life. When you sit in the big boy chair, you want to do things. And that can be what dooms you if you don't clean up the organization before you hand them a $1 trillion check. He doesn't want to hear about fiscal responsibility. He doesn't want to hear about the debt. He's never stressed these things at all. Give me $1 trillion for the military because he wants to do things. And that's why he's hard on the guys who don't want to jack the spending up. I say it is insane and borderline treasonous to continue to spend as if we are fighting a world war when we are not fighting a world war. It is insane what we are spending. It guarantees, it's not an if, it's a matter of when, it guarantees a complete fiscal collapse of the United States of America. We are already seeing internationally, the world is starting to move away from the dollar as the reserve currency. The dollar being the reserve currency, how other countries trade with each other, is the only reason this country is allowed to spend way more than we take in. Other countries don't get to do that. We get to do that because everyone trades in the dollar. Because the dollar is getting weaker because of our spending, countries are starting to move away from that. Continuing deficits at this level guarantees an economic collapse at some point in time. I don't know when. At some point. It guarantees it. And yet, nobody wants to stop it. Because look, it's not just Donald Trump. Republicans, Democrats, all of them. They want to do something. I'm here. I want to do something. I want to I want something in the bill. Can I get something in the bill? I like this. Let's get this in the bill. Oh, hey, Bob, you want anything in the bill? Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, good idea. Yeah, put that airport in the bill. Hey, there's a sweet new missile defense system. What's it cost? $500 billion? Sounds good. Put it in the bill. That'll be cool. I want to do something. Hey, I want to do something. Hey, do you want to do anything? Put it in the bill, man. We'll just put it in the bill. Everybody wants to do something. I've used the analogy a million times because it's so true. It's like we rented out a Dave and Buster's as a country. And every single politician in charge of maintaining order in the Dave and Buster's just continues to run up the tab and run up the tab and run up the tab. And Democrats will take over and they'll run up the tab. Hey, go ride the go-karts. And Republicans will take over and they'll run up the tab. Hey, make sure you tap into the beer. Tab, 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 tab. Because nobody wants to step in, be the adult, and say, shut the games off, turn off the beer taps. We have officially run up $37 trillion in debt, and the party is over. Call in the cleanup crew, bring out the mops, and let's figure out how we're going to pay the bill. Nobody wants to be that guy, because you know what happens? When you're that guy, everyone inside who was enjoying the go-karts and the beer, they're all mad at you. Hey, I was having fun! That's America. It's where we are. It is what it is. Let's talk about manners. Let's move on. Talk about other things. Manners. Some guy has questions, hard questions about Israel. Ooh, that'll be spicy and controversial. Before we get to that, I want to talk to you. Well, I shouldn't say I want to talk to you. I just want to remind you that Stacey Abrams wrote a children's book and she's the star.
Well, Stacey Speaks Up is the story of little Stacey and a day in the cafeteria when she notices one of her classmates can't afford lunch. She wrestles with what it means to need an adult's help, but to believe that she might be the only solution. And so she takes it upon herself to get.
She wrote a children's book starring herself. I swear, I'm not even kidding. I'm thinking about doing the same thing. It's just like a gag. It'd be hilarious. Just with me as the star, I'd be the best. Anyway, let's talk about manners next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And reminding Chris that the Smashing Pumpkins suck and we need to stop playing this on the show. Let's get to the emails. Jesse, I visit high-end fast food places like Taco Bell. I work nights, and I got to know the night manager. He knows me and doesn't ever charge me because he says I'm his best customer. Why? I'm always polite. I order specifically. I ask him how his night shift was. Common courtesy goes a long way. I'll tell you this. It's common knowledge now, but sadly, common knowledge is not that common. Manners are free. They're free. You don't even have to be taught them. You can just decide you're going to start practicing manners. And it's one of the ways you can improve everything in your life. Did you know that? It'll improve how much money you make. Did you know that? Manners. And no, I'm not talking about you have to know exactly where the salad fork goes. And I don't know any of that stuff either. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. Let me hold the door open for you. Please. Say please. Say thank you. Say thank you. A pleasant smile. Look somebody in the eye. When I go to, I live in the Houston area. Houston's airport is known. It is known for being some of the worst customer service in the United States of America. They have top to bottom. I'm talking about the parking attendants, to the cashiers, to the gate agents, the rudest freaking people in the world. They always have this crappy attitude like you're ruining their day. They will treat you like dirt at all times. And yes, I get aggravated by it. But really, when I have a moment where I think about it, I feel so bad for them. Because you're never going to get anywhere that way. Ever. A smile doesn't cost a thing. Politeness doesn't cost a thing. They walk up to you when you're trying to order some food. What do you want? What did you just say to me? You're never, ever, ever going to rise above cashier with that attitude? I'm not even saying have manners for the sake of other people. For your own, if you're purely selfish, if you only care about you, have some manners. Be polite to human beings, and it has a way of paying itself off. I can't even tell you how many people I've seen get a job, or more importantly, lose a job because of bad manners. Wow, look at this resume. Wow, look how qualified this dude is. Wow, look at this. Wow, look at that. Shows up 5 minutes late. If he shakes hands at all, shakes hands like some kind of limp-wristed fruit, doesn't look you in the eye, doesn't say please, doesn't say thank you. Up, he's gone. Immediately disqualified. Immediately disqualified. Manners will make you money, make your life better. And you don't look, maybe you didn't have the best parents in the world. Maybe they didn't teach you. That's fine. It's not hard. Please, thank you. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. These are things anybody can learn. Look somebody in the eye. Have a firm handshake. Basic manners. All right? Jesse, my name's Dave. I live in Communist Massachusetts, but you wouldn't know that in my field. I work in electrical supply, mostly dealing with like-minded individuals. However, there's some stuff that comes up that I can't accept. One of them is the subjects around Israel. I've heard on several occasions that the majority of politicians and elites have dual citizenship there. Some guys think that the original Jews, the Promised Land Jews, are not the same type of Jews that are in control of Israel now, and that Hitler was trying to purge Germany from this type of Jew. They say these Jews originally came from Georgia. They say the Holocaust numbers are fabricated. What say you? Says it's okay to say his name. Of course, and I already did. His name is Dave. The concept of Israel and American politics centering around Israel and being around Israel, I have a word for everybody, no matter where you stand on this. It is officially up for debate. You can no longer do what's been attempted. You can no longer suppress the debate around this. And there are a ton of very, very complicated reasons for this. First, let me just say this about the whole thing. It's not near as simple as you're making it out to be. Not near as simple. This issue, the issue about Israel, Israel's influence, Jews, and all this other stuff, it gets dumbed down and simplified by everybody in an effort to simply quash the debate and stop having any kind of an in-depth conversation at all. And whenever your side, maybe you're a total Jew hater. We get those, you know, Jew this and Jew that, the Jews ruin everything. When you attempt to simplify everything, Jews are bad, everything's bad, Israel controls everything, you sound like a moron and you get dismissed. And you don't want your argument to be dismissed, right? So don't do that. On the other side of it, Israel has never done anything wrong. There's no influence whatsoever at all. Everything's on the up and up. Anyone who claims it is an anti-Semite who wants all Jews to die. That is so dumbed down and simplified that you make your side look bad. This is a very, very complicated thing. It is not simple at all. And so in an effort to offend every single person under the sun, I am going to lay out exactly how I see it. And you can take it from there. And remember, you can write in your hate mail, whatever it may be, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. There'll be a little offense in this for everybody in a moment. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Friday, about to tackle a question that should never, ever be tackled. But of course, I don't worry about offending people, so let's go ahead and tackle it. And probably a lot of people are going to be offended by what we talk about here. The guy has questions about Israel, and he has people telling him this and that and this and that. And what I've said is that the debate about Israel, about Jews, about America, about dual citizenship, about all these things, every side of this issue, or I should say the two different sides of this issue, they both want the issue to be simplified and settled so we stop debating the issue, but that cannot be helped now. It is an issue that is, it's gone to the forefront. Now, this is nothing new, and there are a lot of reasons for this, but I think to help explain part of it, we need to rewind a little bit historically. And no, we're not going to talk Holocaust here. It's not that. We need to go back further than that. The Romans, when the Romans took over Israel, they found the Jewish people to be uniquely problematic. Uniquely problematic. So they were always having rebellions, and not little ones, big ones, where there'd be these huge Jewish armies, and they really acquitted themselves very well. The Romans just couldn't figure out how to deal with it. Why? Well, Jewish people, unlike many other peoples around the globe, stick together more. They do. Now, there are a lot of reasons for that when you've been crapped on and oppressed. But if you have a bunch of Jews, and it's not that Jewish people don't have arguments with each other, but they stick together more. If you were to take 100 of them and drop them into a place where there aren't any, they would probably all stay in the same area and work with each other, worship with each other, speak with each other. They have big families. It's more of a communal thing. It's very, very communal. Did I nail that right? Chris just pointed at me. Chris just said very communal. It's a very, very communal thing. Well, when the Jewish diaspora happened, the Romans got tired of having to deal with these constant rebellions. And the Jews, remember, the Jews were constantly rebelling, and the Romans were chafing against it because they believe in the Messiah, in Yahweh. Well, in the Roman era of this time, we're talking about Caesars and emperors. Nobody could be above Caesar, and the Jews were not going to acknowledge Caesar being above Yahweh. It's a monotheistic religion. There's one God, and Caesar ain't it. And there was always a conflict, right? So the Romans got sick of it eventually. They scattered the Jews to the winds. You can't stay here. I don't care where you people go. You're not allowed to be in Israel anymore. Clearly, your connection to these lands is a problem. Well, the Jews scattered to the winds, but when they scattered to the winds, we'll make it about Russia, but it was all over Europe and everywhere else they went. They did what? Joined together as a community. So if you drop them into St. Petersburg, then the Jews of St. Petersburg are going to live, work, and worship together. Now, let's go beyond that. They're generally, because of the Jewish customs and culture, they're generally going to be more successful than other groups. Not all the time. And I didn't say Jewish people were superior. I'm not saying that at all. But because of the customs and culture. Look, it's the old joke, right? Every day, Seinfeld made this joke 1,000 times. When are you a full Jew? When you become a doctor or a lawyer? All that. So why do these old stereotypes exist? Because accomplishment, academic accomplishment, things like that is expected. Chris, am I wrong about that? It's expected. So that's going to produce more success. Well, now, let me ask you something. In your neighborhood, we'll set Jews aside for a moment. Let's say a bunch of Mongolians moved in. 100 of them. They moved into your town. They moved into your town, and they completely took over one neighborhood. It's now Little Mongolia. It's their Mongolian neighborhood. Okay, it happens. That's how it happens with different people when they get in. But they very quickly, they were making more money than everyone else in the town. Oh, but wait, there's more. Even during the down times, they seem to be doing well, working with each other. What creates more resentment than someone who's doing well when you're doing poorly? It's very, very bad. It's very bad. Now, don't worry along. This is not going to be all, it's not going to all sound pro-Israel and whatnot. I'm about to get to the other side of that in a moment. That has caused all kinds of chafing. The religious aspect has created all kinds of chafing. In Europe, it was a very Christian base, whether you call it Catholic or Protestant, whatever, for the longest time after the Roman Empire really fell. The worship of Jesus being the Lord and Savior, was a big, big thing. Jews do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as being the Lord and Savior. That's a huge religious rift. A huge religious rift. If I make Jesus my everything, if he's my Lord and Savior, and you don't even acknowledge it, well, if I'm that type of person, we're going to have a problem, right? Now, me personally, I don't care. You believe what you want. But we're going to have a problem. It was a huge problem. So now you have a conflict there. Then it gets worse. Well, worse or better. The Jews were always being crapped on by everybody. This is pre-World War II. This is long pre-World War II. Pogroms and everything else. They wanted their own homeland. They wanted to go back, I should say, to Israel, to the land of their forefathers, to the land of their ancestors. Well, it wasn't just that they conquered it by moving in. And yes, there were rebellions and force of arms and things like that. They chose to use their capital, political and financial capital. They chose to use it internationally to lobby for political assistance from all around the globe, including the United States of America. So you would have wealthy American Jews in the White House, in Congress. Hey, we need help. We need assistance. We need this. We need that. Using political capital and finance to come help facilitate the reestablishment of a Jewish homeland in Israel. It worked. It worked very well. But it also, it chafed on a lot of people. Wait a minute. So you just lobbied the government and now we're helping you set up your homeland? I don't care about that. I'm from West Virginia. Why do I care about that? That chafed on people. They didn't. I don't even know if I want to say Israel or Jewish people here, but that kind of international propaganda effort has not gone away. I'll tell you personally. In fact, it just happened to me a couple weeks ago. A friend of mine who's Jewish, Orthodox Jew, we're close. He reached out to me and he said, hey, do you want to go on a trip to Israel? And I said, what? I'll just dumb it down for you. A Jewish organization wanted to pay for me and I think 10 others who do what I do to come to Israel on a tour. Why? It's a paid for tour. First class seats. Nice hotels. No, I'm not going, by the way. Why are you doing that? That's to help ingrain love of Israel in the voices of people who have a big platform, thus helping. I understand the game, but when people find out that stuff, they say, wait a minute, that seems devious. It seems dirty. What, Chris? What? Chris said it does look kind of scummy. I don't know that I would say it looks scummy, but it exists and it's real, right? It exists and it's real, and that's the kind of thing that chafes. And then your question was about dual citizenship. Look, you know, I mean, I've already been to Israel, the Holy Land. I baptized my son there. You know about that, what it means to me. It doesn't look good when they're flying Israeli flags in Congress. It doesn't. It doesn't look good when there are dual citizens of any country in the United States Congress. Dual citizenship speaks to dual loyalty. And so you pour fuel into the other side's argument, look, we're run by the Jews. When you have a United States congressman waving an Israeli flag, all you do is give the other side ammunition. It's a long, complicated issue that I could go into much more detail about, but I'm sure that will probably get us enough hate mail to last a lifetime for today's show. Let's move on and discuss other things. Remember, if you're offended, one, I don't care, but two, you can tell me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, I want to talk to you about your T levels before we move on, because somebody's about to ask, if I could change one thing in human history, what could it be? What would it be? I wish I'd started Chalk earlier. That's one of them. I've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk for 3 years. It has made such a difference in my entire life just to have more energy all the time. There comes a point in time as you get older when you run out of gas early in the day. When I can't count how many times, 4 or 5 in the afternoon, you're yawning. Man, I'm tired. I'm ready for bed. Not like you stayed up late drinking whiskey all night. You're just tired all the time. I never feel like that now. And I have a male vitality stack from Chalk to thank for that. Natural herbal supplements. CHOQ.com. Code Jesse. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. I do want to, Chris made a point during the break that I do want to piggyback off of real quick before we do this final couple questions here. Chris said he knows atheistic Jews who still show up to synagogue, to his synagogue, because we were talking about how communal Jews are. I'll just say this. This has taken place in every society where there has been a minority population, no matter what society it is. In fact, a prison's actually a great example of this. If you walked into prison today, let's say you're a white guy and you walked into prison today, you will be a minority in prison. Prison's mostly made up of black dudes and Latinos. You will be a minority in prison. And you know what else you will do? You will join with the other white inmates and look out for each other. Because you are a minority, therefore you will turtle up as that minority and you will use your unity as being your true protection, because there's not enough of you. If you break up, you won't survive. Societies work in the exact same way. Whether we're talking about a religion or a nationality, whatever it may be, when there is a minority population, the minority population is in general going to be more communal anyway. Now, there's a flip side to this that everybody everywhere has to be careful of, because you can see this repeat itself time and time again throughout history. When you have a minority population that has been oppressed or abused, they will really, really turtle up and join together, all right? They'll become communal. And then there's a second step to this that happens all the time. They will become so reflexively hostile to anybody who, any perceived attack, real or perceived attack, that they can, in fact, end up doing some really crappy things that make the entire group look terrible. You see this in America's black community today all the time. Black people have been crapped on repeatedly in the history of this country. We're talking beyond slavery, the segregation and everything else. It understandably had black people become more communal. I just saw a poll yesterday that showed by a 2-to-1 margin, black people are more likely to identify by their race than any other group in the United States of America. People made a big deal of it. It's an obvious point. Of course they would. They were the oppressed minority group, so therefore they are going to be more communal and identify more with that. That's the good part of it. The bad part of it is, how many times have you seen some scumbag on TV defending a black criminal who did something terrible just for the color of his skin? You see that, and what happens? It makes all black people look bad, which isn't fair, but it makes all black people look bad when you see Al Sharpton on television again defending the serial murderer because of the color of his skin. It makes everyone look bad. On the Israel front, the Jewish front, because this is now a debate that's going to be front and center. I saw somebody, I forget her name, somebody, a pretty prominent person, was talking. You know what The Blaze is? I'm not affiliated with The Blaze. I have some friends for The Blaze. But The Blaze, she accused The Blaze of being heavily anti-Israel, anti-Semitic. Are you kidding me? Glenn Beck practically lives in Israel. When you start saying things like that, when you start getting so over the top with your defense, you can easily make yourself look like the bad guy. Easily make yourself look like the bad guy. All right, let's move on. Jesse, if you could go back in time to the beginning of human history, what one thing would you change if you could only change one thing easily? I would stop the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand. The assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand, in case you don't know, is what actually kicked off World War One. And the more I read and learn about World War One and World War Two, and the not just the loss of life, the historical artifacts that were destroyed forever, the communist revolution, think about that's 100 million people right there. Communism catching the death brought about by communism taking hold. When you really take into account what World War One kicked off, because remember, there's no World War Two without World War One. Kicking off World War One. Honestly, death at that scale, it's part of the reason so many people died in World War One. It was just unimaginable. That's not what war was. yeah, you'll take half a million troops and I'll take half a million troops and we'll have a couple big battles. And at the end of it, I'll have lost 70,000 and you'll have lost 100,000. And that's bad, but okay, then the war's over. 100,000 was a bad month. Here's a million gone, a million gone, a million gone. Loss of life like the world had never seen. And World War One was much smaller, a fraction of what World War II brought about. Infinitely bigger. The death and destruction and loss of life that came, that was sparked by that assassination, is so sad to me. When I have old man sentimental moments, like when we did the World War I history this week about the White War. Half you loved it, half you hated it. I don't care. I enjoyed it. But when we did that this week, it was so sad thinking about all those men up there freezing, dying in the mountains. It's so awful. And all of it came from that. And they didn't even have relief factor. What, Chris? Can you imagine the aches and pains you would have in 30 below in the mountains? All that mountain climbing and hiking, your knees would be killing you. That's why you need 100% drug-free solution. What they needed was Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a supplement developed by doctors. Your body's trying to fight inflammation. It is. It needs help. Relief Factor is that help. Relief Factor works better the longer you take it. They sell a 3-week quick start. It's $19.95. All I'm asking is that you try it for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. That's it. Tell me how your pain is after 3 weeks. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. All right? All right.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Hello, Dance Master Jesse. You've often regaled us with stories of your unique dance style. Springtime brings prom season and backyard dance parties. Your sons might be asking for some dancing pointers. How much time are you spending showing them your best Wild Man Kelly moves? One, that's not nice. Two, Ob says that it's like dancing with the grizzly bear, and that's not very nice either. I feel like I'm a lot better dancer than I get credit for. What, Chris? I do. Jesse, as Jasmine Crockett continues her tirades, do you think she will end up going the way of Jamal Bowman and Cori Bush or the way of AOC? I think Jasmine Crockett's going to be gone before long. I don't think it'll be next election cycle, but she's obviously fallen in love with the fame. She can't stop speaking, saying dumb things. She's enjoying getting famous. And remember, you're not allowed to make problem for the elite communists. Where's Jamal Bowman today? Where's Cori Bush? Oh, not in Congress anymore. I'll talk to you Monday. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.